You are now tuned into CJSF 90.1 FM, broadcasting from Burnaby, BC. Want to know more about the channel? Find us online at cjsf.ca.
Events referred to may already have happened. In this segment of our show, Aaron Plum will be giving us an update on the Learning Disabilities Association. So what's the latest with the Learning Disabilities Association?
They caught me off guard. Well, the latest is it's a brand new year, so we've started our programs again. We have a lot of literacy and math programs. Our big news is our youth coaching program, which actually began in the fall, but it has really picked up steam over the new year. So that's a program specifically tailored for youth ages 15 to 30 can participate in it. Well, anyone can participate in it, but for right now, that age group can participate for free because of the generous donations from the Ontario Trillium Foundation allow us to give us that programming. So coaching is different than counseling. I feel like that's the big question that everybody asks. Coaching is, it allows youth to create their goals with their with their coach, and then they work on strategies to make that goal happen together. So it is self-directed. It's not the coach saying, you got to do this or things like that. But it can help with that executive functioning piece that's so common for people with learning disabilities and ADHD. And for youth in general, I mean, when I was a young person, I didn't know which way was up. And I didn't really know who to trust or ask about all sorts of stuff. So having access to a mentor would have been a really, really great thing.
So how are you reaching out to folks who could potentially benefit from this program?
Well, we reach out mostly through opportunities like this where we speak to folks like you in the community, but people can always check out any of our program offerings on our website. You can find us at www.ldawe.ca. We're on Instagram, we're on Facebook. So yeah, the usual suspects.
So, what are some of the most commonly requested services for the association, like in terms of self-directed sort of programming? What do you find are some of the common hopes and goals among clients?
I feel like it's really dependent on the age of the client, but for the most part, the vast majority of our clients are children. And they're range from elementary to high school. There's that bit of an overlap with youth. And most of these people are coming to us for support with literacy, math, and social skills. When you have a learning disability, you're probably really smart. You probably have big goals and aspirations, but you probably struggle a lot with school. You might struggle in one area, like reading, or you might struggle in many areas. So we provide a lot of out-of-school supports, and for families, this is really comforting, because when your kid isn't doing well in school, it's really, really hard on them. It takes a really huge toll on their self-esteem, and it can really be damaging as a family. It can be really hard to support that young person and maintain your cool and, you know, be a happy family when everyone is stressed out about learning to read or where you're going to go in the future. So we find that a lot of families come to us for school support and also for transitioning. People get stuck at certain points in the system. So when we leave elementary school and we go to high school, that's a big change. There's a lot going on there, so we find the families and youth need support at that place. The big transition, though, is when you leave school and you go to post-secondary or a training program or maybe your first job. That is a huge environmental shift, and a lot of people and their parents are really not sure what the next step is. So we do provide a lot of systems navigation support, you know, connecting people with the right agencies and the right information so that they can really get the most out of their community services.
So in your time with the association, is there any success moment or story that stands out for you you'd like to share?
I have been with LDA for a really long time, about 15 years. I don't know, there's been quite a lot of success stories. One of my favorite this year was we had an adult learner who was just learning to read. And as that person was learning to read, they would come in and be very excited that the signs around them were making sense, that they could see the words as words and not just weird letters and pictures. And that was really rewarding. Of course, in the office, we were all tearing up and we were all very happy for her, but that's a really big achievement for anyone, especially an adult who, for the most part, really thought, that's it, I'm never going to read for the rest of my life. And she heard about our Barton program and joined up and was reading. So that was a huge success story. It was really wonderful to be a part of that.
So what's on the horizon for the year ahead?
The year ahead is, I hope, a bright one. So our reading programs are expanding. We have expanded our Barton Reading and Spelling program to virtual. So now you don't even have to go to the office to meet with your tutor. That's a one-on-one tutoring service. We have expanded virtual programming across all of our programs. So there's probably a way to fit it into your schedule or your location. We hope to expand our coaching thing. That's really the big focus. We have found that there is a serious service gap for youth, and we've really invested a lot of time and resources to bring the programming we have for our youth, and we're really excited to be able to offer Ontario-wide coaching to youth with LD, ADHD, even youth who don't have a diagnosis, who just want a mentor and some help for the road ahead.
Like, thank you for taking the time out to do this, but if you can stay on the line for a sec, that'd be great.
Sure.
In this segment of our show, we'll hear from Matt Lee and John Barr about the Night Owl Country Band.
My name's Matt Lee. John Barr. And we're Night Owl Country Band. It's good to be with you, Cam.
It's my pleasure.
So a little bit about the Night Owl Country Band. We like to play a lot of positive music, don't we, John?
Yeah, for sure.
So you can tell me a little bit about how your music might uplift someone who's having, say, mental health concerns or just any sort of struggles in life.
Well, I've had quite a few struggles myself, and former drug addict. I've been clean 10 years. Well, 2026 will be 11 years. And, you know, it's about 3 years into my sobriety, and I felt like I was stuck, like I needed to do something else. You know, I didn't want to go back to using drugs, but I just wanted to, I don't know, venture out and see what life had in store that I'd missed all those years of being an addict. And, found Night Owl Country Band, loved the music, and I just love country music, and got to know everybody and started traveling around with them, and it's kind of like a saving grace for me.
So in that sense, What would you like those struggling with addiction to know through your music?
What, can you repeat that? I'm sorry.
That's all right. So, if you could use your music to send any message to those struggling with addiction, what would you want them to take away from the songs you play?
Our songs, a lot of them are about, we do a lot of positive type of music and a lot about love and people, you know, loving each other and everything like that. Anybody that's going through anything, if they play our music, we hope that they get something positive out of it. We try to stay away from we call ourselves outlaw country music, but we try to stay away from the negative things that's in the world. There's a lot of things going on in the world today, politically, on both sides that, you know, we may not agree altogether, but the one thing that we can come back to, besides we're all American, is music. It seems like everybody loves some kind of music, and hopefully somebody will take Night Owl Country Band's music, listen to it, and maybe even give us some feedback on how maybe our music has changed their lives.
So, if you don't mind my asking, I'd love to hear about how the music has impacted your sobriety, if it's helped you to stay strong through your journey.
It has. It gives me something to do, takes my mind off of anything that I might have, you know, they call say triggers. I don't really have those anymore, but, you know, it gives me a positive outlook on life, something I can do to help out. And another thing, I'd never been saved or baptized, so Matt got me into his dad's church, and I got saved, baptized, and that, again, if it wasn't for meeting the band and the music, and I wouldn't be as far as I am in life.
So, for each of you, in your time with the band, is there any success moment or story you'd like to share?
The most exciting thing that Night Owl Country Band's done, and we kind of hang our hat on, is we had the chance to play on the stage of the Grand Ole Opry in 2019, and, man, that was such an experience to be able to play the stage, be able to stand in the circle. The other guys, they weren't able to stay in the circle since I'm the front guy. I got to stay in the circle, so I got a little bit more of that than what they did, but that's one memory that we'll never forget and that can never be taken away from us. And every time I look back at that memory, I smile at that memory. We've had some, of course, personnel changes since then, which is okay. That's the way things go. That's the way bands work sometimes. People have other things in lives and other priorities that they need to work through, and that's fine. That's one thing that they, when they left, that's one memory that they'll always be able to take with them, is that they got to do that with a Night Owl Country Band and got to be able to share the stage on the Grand Ole Opry.
So, do you have one as well?
I do. Well, Matt started a podcast and an award show. What year?
This next year would be our fourth year. This would be our fourth year, yeah.
Yeah, the fourth year, so... And I got to meet a bunch of excellent independent artists, and along with, like, got to meet David Frizzell, Tom Wopat, and, you know, had I been still out struggling, doing my bad stuff, I would have never got the chance to do all this stuff. So it's really a positive thing.
Got to meet Jimmy Walker, too.
Got to meet Jimmy Walker, J.J. Walker, yeah.
Nice. Yeah. And Moonshiner.
Moonshiner.
Jerry
Benson. Yeah.
Yeah. And Rupert. We've worked with Rupert a little bit. And Barry Williams. We got to meet.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
One of our childhood heroes. Wow. And we got to play, not only open for him, we got to back him also.
John Schneider, I didn't get to meet him, but I got to see him perform live. So,
yeah,
that was something really cool. A lot of positive things.
Absolutely. So, What are the next steps for the band?
This year is going to be a very exciting year. This is kind of a pivotal year. I call it a pivotal year for Night Owl Country Band. We, you know what? We've been a band for 10 years, and we're going on our 11th year also. And this year we're doing a couple tours, one in North Carolina, one in Canada, in Western Canada, where it's called Rise Up Tour. We're doing that through Big Records. That's who our label is. And we're going to be going, and we're going to be on a bus. And it's all the musicians are going to be on this bus together. There's going to be cameras everywhere. So it's a reality TV show with independent artists to kind of see behind the scenes. And we're going to be on two legs of that tour. So we're going to be on the Western Canada tour. We're also going to be on the North Carolina tour. And something else that's kind of cool, that's exciting, that we're going to be doing is we're also going to be featured in a movie. And that movie, I get the chance to, which I never thought I'd ever say this ever, but I get to play a leading role. I get to play a sheriff on a movie called Somewhere in the West, and we're also writing the script for that. And so we're excited about that. This is a big year. A lot of odd, different kind of things we're doing, but I think it's one of them things that looking back on this year, I think we're going to be really happy that the things that happened this year.
Like, thank you both for taking the time out to do this, but if you can stay on the line for a sec, that'd be great.
Okay.
Andy Link will be right back after these commercial messages, so stay tuned.
Drivers who use handheld devices such as cell phones are 4 times more likely to get into crashes serious enough to cause injury or even death. Brain injuries such as those caused by distracted driving kill more people under the age of 20 than any other causes combined. When you text and drive, you not only put your own life at risk, but the lives of others on the street around you. Go to leavethephonealone.ca, take the pledge to only drive and never text, and help to put an end to distracted driving. Everyone deserves to travel on our roads without fear.
Welcome back to Handy Link. I'm your host, Cam Wells. Earlier in our show, we heard a little bit about the Learning Disabilities Association of Windsor Essex from Aaron Plum, and John Barr and Matt Lee told us about the impact of the Night Owl Country Band. In this segment of our show, Barb Stanley will be giving us an update on her hopes for Wonderful Works Ministry for the year ahead. So what are your hopes for Wonderful Works for the year ahead?
Well, I tell you, we are working on a lot of stuff. So my hope is that we can continue getting the word out about what we do and how it can help churches become more accessible for people with disabilities. We would like to see more people visiting the Adaptive Discipleship Library, where we have all of our free resources and coaching. And a big thing that we are really wanting to work on this year is developing some more resources where we are not just talking to experts in the field, but experts in the life of people with disabilities. So inviting people with disabilities in to kind of help us with some new projects we're looking towards in the next year.
So how are you reaching out to folks who could potentially benefit from this material?
We do most of our reaching out on social media. So we have a Facebook page, Wonderful Works Ministry, and a Facebook group, which is also the Wonderful Works Ministry Facebook group, where each week we will put out some of our resources. We'll invite discussion. It's kind of a collaborative group where ministry leaders from all over the world can kind of work together.
So were there any projects in the past year that you hope to build on the momentum of to sort of advance the process?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot. We do a lot of different things. But what I'm really excited about, and I'd really like to share more of, is our podcast. We have a podcast called Wonderful Works Talks, as you know, Cam, because you are our guest this month that we're taping. where we talk to people about faith and accessibility. And I would love for more people to listen to it because it's really important to hear real stories, as you know.
Certainly do. And can you share some of the highlights of some of the guests you've had on?
Yeah, so we have we've had some really amazing guests. We have had Stephen McCoy, who is the world's first Black deafblind journalist, and he has a fascinating story of growing up with a hearing impairment and then kind of beating the odds to become a really successful journalist. He was working with, I think, Disney, and he was out on the celebrity red carpet and realized he couldn't see the person he was trying to interview and found out that he was then losing his sight as well. So we hear his story, what he has learned through that, and how his faith impacts that. That is really interesting. Of course, you were our guest recently, and I will tell you, I have not stopped thinking about that interview, Cam, since we've had it. There are a couple things you said that have just absolutely stuck into me that I just wish more people would listen to it because you give some wisdom in there.
Thank you. So in terms of stories you get, do you find that faith plays a role in any of the healing journeys, like that anyone has become stronger through faith and turned that towards their disability life?
Absolutely. I mean, their faith in the healing of their emotional healing and their spiritual healing, faith has been a huge component. We talk to a lot of people that have had some struggles going to church and have had some church hurt. And we've talked to some people that have had hurt from people who mean well, who maybe say things like, "I'm praying for your healing," when that wasn't asked for, or misconceptions like that. And we learned that each person's personal relationship with Jesus is what helps them to heal through things and keep going.
So, in short, don't look at them as a charity case or something broken, but as a person.
Absolutely. And that is a big thing that we are trying to do with this podcast and with some projects we're hoping to launch next year, is shifting that whole narrative specifically because our ministry is about church accessibility. So we work with churches. But we want to shift that narrative that disability ministry and accessibility is about serving people and let people know it is about having accessible churches because the people who God brings you have things to give back. That these are whole, complete people. They are not broken. They are not a charity case. And they're not. It's not a one-way street. This is about letting people be their best selves that God made them to be.
Can you give me an example, maybe a success story, someone who's come in and found their place despite initial perceptions?
Sure. I'll just tell you one from my own church. So I serve in the disability ministry there. And we have been very blessed in my church that disability accessibility is important. It is valued. And so we have been trying to create some accessible systems for over 10 years. So one of the little girls that I am her buddy, she has Down syndrome. And in the children's ministry that we're in, every week she goes to the front and is part of the team that is leading the worship for the kids' ministry. So she's up there dancing and singing and just being fully engaged and getting the crowd pumped up. And another thing I think is really cool is she sometimes has some trouble with getting frustrated at certain things because sometimes, like, learning to wait for things is hard for her. So we have been working about how to handle those feelings, and we had put together a social story to help her understand how to do things. Well, when we did that, she said, "Hey, can I teach you guys something?" And she has taught everyone in our class about how to handle it when you get frustrated, and she taught us deep breathing exercises. And so now every Sunday when we're together, she goes through those deep breathing exercises with everybody. Reminds people that when they're feeling frustrated, this is how you calm yourself. and has really shined as a teacher for the rest of us. So I think that's a huge win.
Actually, just brought something to mind, a saying I heard once that one can't teach without learning themselves.
Yeah, that is true. Yes.
So, are there any projects on the horizon that you specifically want to highlight?
Yeah, so I would like to highlight the Disability and the Church conference that's coming up in April. So this is hosted by Key Ministry, and each year they bring disability ministry leaders from around the country to teach about all different aspects of how to make church accessible and how to help families impacted by disability at church. I think it is the best conference in disability ministry each year. So we speak at it each year. We are speaking at it again this year. And I would just like to invite everyone to check it out at keyministry.org. Again, Disability in the Church Conference. It's April 21st through the 23rd in Washington, D.C. this year, and it is amazing.
I'd like to thank you for taking the time out to do this, but if you can stay on the line for a sec, that'd be great.
Okay.
Thanks. Friends, I loved hearing the story from the band today, and so much as there are no rules about what gets you through something like addiction or injury, even mental health trauma. Fact is, we all get through it in our own way, in our own time. But as I've always said, it's about finding that focal point, finding that reason to continue, something to give you strength. Might start off as, oh yeah, I'm doing well in this area of my life, but before too long you'll find it spills over into other areas. Find that overall, you're a better person, a more well-rounded person, someone capable of achieving the things they once would have deemed impossible. Honestly, sometimes we have this tendency to make our disability bigger than it is, to limit ourselves before we try. Yes, it's a key part of the puzzle, but it's not the whole picture. If you're defined only as a person with a disability, you lose sight of everything else in your life. Finding that focal point, finding that reason to get up in the morning, can make all the difference. If you recognize there are people there to support you, and that you do matter in this world, things begin to change. Maybe it begins with just noodling with guitar chords, or maybe it begins with painting or sculpting, or just getting to know community groups. For each of us, it's about finding that outlet, and recognizing that no matter the disability, we have strength, we have something to contribute in this world. And honestly, those who doubt and those who judge might be surprised at what you end up creating. You might even surprise yourself. Well, it is true, not everyone with a disability is out to quote-unquote inspire society. If you do choose to go that route, if you do choose to uplift others, I find something like music or art, doing things in a cool, relatable way, speaks to the message and the heart of disability existence better than almost anything. You want to reach people in a way that they can put themselves into. Seeing a story on TV of someone who managed to overcome the odds. We all love those uplifting and inspirational stories, but not everyone with a disability is a giant automatically. They go through struggles, they go through pain, just like anyone in society. But how they own it can be what drives us to take that step forward, to say, if he can do it, maybe I can too. Maybe my dream is something else, but I can learn from this strength. This has been Handy Link. I'm your host, Cam Wells, reminding you, we're all equal. So get on out there and have yourselves a good one. Something tells me you've earned it, folks. We'll see you next week.
CJSF is looking for new volunteers to come in and make radio. No experience is necessary. You can learn to DJ, edit sound, produce news, make posters, and host your own show. Come out to a weekly station orientation to get involved. Orientation times can be found on our website at www.cjsf.ca.